Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump and Elon Musk have given their first joint interview of the new administration to explain their sweeping steps to slash spending and shrink the federal workforce.
They're finding billions, and it will be hundreds of billions of dollars worth of fraud.
Mr. Trump and Musk explained on Fox News.
A country is no different from an individual in that if an individual overspends, an individual can go bankrupt, and so can a country.
The Kremlin says President Trump and Vladimir Putin could meet in person before the end of the week after high-level talks between the two countries. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
A day after the U.S. and Russian officials met in Saudi Arabia, Russia's foreign minister is praising President Trump. Sergei Lavrov says Trump is the first president to blame the conflict on Ukraine for its aspirations to join NATO. Ukraine was not included in the talks. Ukrainian President Zelensky says President Trump has helped Russia end 3 years of isolation in the West, and that the president is living in what he calls Russia's disinformation space.
A massive blast of Arctic air is blanketing the nation's midsection in bitter cold, CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The record cold is setting up this morning in a large portion of the nation's midsection. What you're going to be seeing are record temperatures this morning that are, in some cases, 5 degrees below the old record for the day, which is a pretty crazy statistic to see.
Tragedy in Port St. Lucie, Florida, where a toddler was shot to death. KPEC-TV's Jamaica Gibson.
The police chiefs told us that the two-year-old's gunshot wound was self-inflicted. It was reported the little boy was in the bedroom on the bed with his mother when he got a hold of a gun nearby and pulled the trigger. He did not make it. Police Chief Leo Nimzik says the gun belongs to the mother's fiance.
A hip-hop star is off the hook after he was accused of shooting a former friend in 2021.
Not guilty.
The courtroom erupted when the not guilty verdict for A$AP Rocky was read. The rapper, whose real name is Rakim Mayers, ran back and hugged his partner Rihanna and then thanked jurors.
Thank y'all for saving my life. Thank you.
The 36-year-old hip-hop star faced up to 24 years if he had been convicted on 2 felony counts of assault with a semi-automatic firearm. The jurors only needed to agree on the result. Allison Key, CBS News.
The National Archive says the JFK Library and Museum in Boston will reopen today. The foundation says it was forced to close abruptly yesterday afternoon after the Trump administration ordered 5 employees to be fired. S&P futures down 10. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. 2 people were injured in that Racine house explosion and fire last night. It happened at around 6 at a duplex on Gilson, about 2 blocks north of Mitchell Middle. The cause still isn't known, but investigators may have a tough time due to the conditions. Debris was blown for blocks, water used to douse the flames froze, and We Energy has reportedly had issues trying to dig out and find a cutoff valve. Nearby homes were briefly evacuated as a safety measure. Again, the cause of that explosion and fire at the duplex in Racine is currently under investigation. Kenosha Unified voters said no to the extra spending. The $115 million school referendum for Kenosha Unified was voted down yesterday. A request from the Waterford Union High School District in Racine County did pass. In other results from yesterday, voters in Racine's 5th Aldermanic District sent Jens Jorgensen to the April ballot to take on Melissa Caprillion. In the 9th, Grace Allen and Pat Schwanke advanced to April. To recap results, check out RacineCountyEye.com. 40 degrees by early next week and maybe rain. The cold weather advisory sticks around for a little bit today, but then a warm-up takes place. It'll be in the 30s for the weekend, up near 40 on Monday. The latest is coming up in the forecast. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Badgers beat the Illini. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Number 11th ranked Wisconsin beat Illinois at the Kohl Center, 95-74. There were no handshakes between the teams. Illini head coach Brad Underwood said nearly half of his players were fighting a flu bug. Greg Gard
just said, "Hey, you guys got to get healthy. You know, and obviously Johnson's out and whatever else is going on." He goes,
We got the flu rolling through us. A bunch of our guys are in the locker room right now, discharging. So I said, if you're okay, we're not going to shake hands. Is that good with you? And he goes, yes, fine. I said, hey, we're cool. We're good. Good luck. Talk to you.
Marquette with a win at home over Seton Hall, 80-56. NBA, the Bucks back in action when they host the Clippers tomorrow night at 7:30. Milwaukee with a new look with players like Gary Trent Jr., Kyle Kuzma, and Kevin Porter Jr.
Nice mix out there. New guys. We were communicating. We were making the right plays. We were playing with energy. And we just had each other's back.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Finally crawling out of the deep freeze here this week. Partly sunny, slight improvement today, a high of 14. Wind chills, though, still between 5 below and 15 below. A low of 7 tonight with mostly cloudy skies, maybe a few flurries. Mostly sunny on Thursday with a high of 24. Right now, it's 1 above 0.
I like to wait till it's quiet, then I say something awkward a lot of times, you know, like, I was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I was on the exercise bike, and it was close to closing time, and this heavyset lady came and sat on the bike right next to me, and she goes, I'm here to lose weight, and I was like, well, you waited till the last minute, didn't you? You know, I still laugh at things I know I shouldn't, man, but some things are just too funny, you know, like when people fall down, that's funny. You know what's funny about that is, you don't even know if they're all right yet. Right? And for like a split second, you just don't care. Because they could be bleeding right in front of you. Ooh, dang, buddy, all right, holy cow.
Don Rosen in the morning.
I like to wait till it's quiet, then I...
And good morning at 7:06 WRJN Local News Timeless Hits. I have a guest in the studio. I got to be on best behavior. Alder and County Board Supervisor Renee Kelly is here. Good morning. Thanks for coming up in this freezing cold 1-degree weather.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
I always feel guilty when my guests come in and it's cold outside. Well, what am I going to wait? I'll get you when the spring thaw comes, when it's 55, 60 degrees outside. Can you hold off till then?
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel bad when they come in. They schlep through the snow, the ice, but, you know.
Well, you guys did a great job shoveling, so.
No, we didn't shovel. This is the first time I've ever seen Victory Avenue actually cleaned during a snowstorm. And then our parking lot guys, they come.
Well,
whatever.
That might have had something to do with us, you know.
I have a picture of what it was like here the morning after the big snow recently. The streets were plowed very well, and they set up this giant snow berm around our property, which is, when you plow, that's what's going to happen. I couldn't get into the building. I had to put my foot in a 4-foot snow berm. It was up past my knees when I got in.
Wow.
What really ticked me off is the other guy here, he actually used my footprints to get in. You know, I had to set the footprints up. So how are you? Good?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Everything okay with the city and the county?
Well, you know, it's... We have a lot going on, so it's enough to, I'm definitely not bored by any means, so.
Let's get to the elections last night.
Yeah.
Were the primary elections, I guess the real one's the first Tuesday in April. I don't know what the date is, but that's.
Yeah,
that's,
April 1st. Not right, that April Fool's Day.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's not good. Quick story about April Fool's Day. Back in 1991, we were signing on our FM station from a different format. And the owner said, we'll do it Monday. I said, whoa, Monday's April Fool's Day. We're not doing it that day because people are going to think it's a joke. So we went off the air on the last day of March. We were off the air all day. We were a country music station. And we stayed off the air for 24 hours. Then we came on April 2nd. I said, I'm not signing this place on April 1st. You got to be kidding. But yeah, you got to be careful what you do on April 1st.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we got elections coming up on April 1st. Today, yesterday was the primary. How did we do around town? Were any big things going on? I know some alders that you were up, but you're running unopposed.
I am, yeah. So I'll be on the April 1st ballot unopposed.
So you really can't lose.
No.
Well, I don't know.
It's a win-win.
Wouldn't that be strange? She lost. She was unopposed.
Right.
How did she do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. Okay, so let's go through all the alders. And do you know any? Give me the ones that were in. Because not everybody was in a primary yesterday, right?
Right. So we have District 5. Was Melissa Caprillion and Jens Jorgensen are the winners of the primary.
Yeah.
So Melissa's been in that seat for a while. She's also a county board supervisor. And I think Jen's is new to town. So we got that. District 9.
And, you know, I looked at the vote count.
Yeah.
There were barely 600 votes even voted in the whole district.
Yeah, it's hard to get people out for the spring elections, especially a primary. So, you know, a lot of people are a little more motivated in November. You know, they go, some people are only every 4 year voters. And you can kind of tell that if you pull the voter registry from the state site, who, you know, who's doing what, you know, who's the absentee ballot voters and all of that. But it's interesting. So, you know, you kind of just got to push a little bit to get people out there. When there's something a little more exciting, sometimes people don't know what your alderman or your county board supervisor does. But when there's something more exciting, like a Supreme Court race or, you know, mayoral type of race, they're a little more motivated to get out there. And even then, those numbers are low.
I always call Dave Mack. Excuse me, I need to pick up my garbage by 10 o'clock. Can you find out where they are, David, please? Yeah, they usually come here at 10 o'clock. It's now 10:02. Mm-hmm. Could you find out where they are, please?
Garbage is a sensitive topic right now.
I'm telling you, everybody, this world runs on, when are you going to pick up my garbage?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. People get all upset about it. And there's no way to put the garbage pails on, so you got to put them in the street.
Yes.
And people will go, I'm parking there. What do you want me to put the garbage pail? There's nowhere else to put it.
Right.
I mean, we have a big snow mound there about 6 feet tall. Okay, so garbage is a big issue. What else? What are their alders? It's all, what, the odd number alders were in the...
So it's all the odd districts.
The odd people. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them.
the oddballs were running this time. Okay. So
District 9, Terry McCarthy, who's our current, council president, he is leaving. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he is my neighboring area. So his district is right next to mine. We had 4 people running, for that primary and the primary there. And so we have 2 winners, Pat Schwanke and Grace Allen were the winners of that district. So be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Okay, that's District. What about District 7? Who's that?
I believe that is Alder Horton.
Well, you know all this stuff off the top of your head. That's good.
I'm trying.
Now, did he run unopposed?
He is unopposed.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what, anybody else run with opposition?
That's it.
Really?
Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. I was thinking I've got primary on the brain. So Jeff Coe, who's District 1, has someone running against him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's good.
He's been there a long time.
He has. Yeah. So he has a lot of support. So we'll see how that comes out.
Does it give you a sense of relief to know you're unopposed?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the people are in my district were pretty happy. So
it's either one of two things. Oh, I'm not going against that Renee Kelly. Oh, no, I'm not taking her. I'm not going to be embarrassed. Or I don't care who runs my district. It's either one of two things.
Some people don't know. Others, they
didn't
are.
Did it just fall down in front of you?
It did just fall down.
Right,
yeah,
put it back up
or I'll
again.
Tighten that up.
Oh, thank you. You're a member of the Engineers Union. You can't do that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so people, I'm pretty active in my district. I hold regular neighborhood watch meetings because we have a lot of issues kind of going on. So I'm pretty proactive. I'm always out there. My alderman and my county board, it's, you know, they're even odd years. So I'm kind of out there every year putting my name out there. So, you know, and I'm very active with my constituents and I respond fairly quickly. So
I would last 9 seconds in that job. The first time somebody called me, I'd say, just go back and watch your television and shut up. I got everything under control.
Aww.
9 seconds I would last in that job.
Well,
the first person that called me and started complaining, I hang up on it. I have never had a job in my life where I had to deal face to face with the public. In all my years, I never had a job where I had to look at. I wouldn't last long.
Well, there's a strategy. So there's like a method to the madness I've found, especially after like fireworks, right? Because there was a period of time where, you know, we weren't responding to fireworks calls, you know, when people call dispatch. And so I tend to maybe just like give a little cool off period and then, you know, respond to the call with some information for them. Some, you know, I do a little research first. And, you know, by then they're just happy that someone has called them back, give them some sort of resolution. And then we're able to move forward and they're, you know, happy.
Never, never, never deal with this. What about after snows? Because everybody wants their street plowed. What? The snow, the last flake fell. Where was the snow plow?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, so, I live on a main thoroughfare, so my snow is always plowed. Good and bad, because as soon as I do my driveway, it's back again 5 minutes later, but that's just the cost of living on a main street. Some of the streets, last time, not this time, but the first
January.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, nobody really get bad. People were complaining, especially if you live in an alleyway. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, so that was a rough one. All 15 alders had so many complaints. I can't even begin to tell you.
How do you placate these people? I mean, they want the snow plowed.
I get it. And so some of it has to do, I think, with a little bit more like, did we call a snow emergency, which allows PD to actually do what they're supposed to do with the towing and getting people off those main artery roads? And people have become a little bit complacent with, you know, not following the rules.
Oh, I have it on me about it. Yeah.
My own street right now. I have a huge 4-foot mound of snow
right outside
the apron of my driveway because someone didn't move.
No, it's not snow. It's a mound of ice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
you couldn't even move it now if you wanted to move it. You couldn't do it.
So, you know, I'm glad to see that this past snowstorm, I was actually out of town, but still getting emails and phone calls, even though they did a little bit, they were more proactive. They called the snow emergency and they were towing. They towed an excessive amount of cars because, you know, if there's no consequence for things, people aren't really serious about it. So
I got to ask you about that after the break here. I got to ask you about the consequences of parking if you don't park on the opposite side of the street. We're going to talk about that in a second because I think they got rid of one of the consequences. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So when they called you about the snow problem, you're sipping Mai Tais in the Bahamas. Oh, yeah, it's 85 degrees here.
I wish.
What time? Your snow problem? Oh, I'll do it when I get back. I'm very concerned about your snow berm.
I wish. I really wish. I was at a conference learning more, filling my head with more knowledge. So.
I had a pina colada here. I'm sorry. I'll be right with you in just a sec. Hi, Fredo, can you bring me another pina colada?
That sounds so nice right now.
And a
now.
Spray of water. You know those little cans of water they spray you with?
Yeah.
Just give me another squirt of that water on me. I'm very hot.
Yes.
Hold on a sec. County Board Supervisor and Alder Renee Kelly is with me. More to talk about, but first, here's Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Guy Pearce says Kevin Spacey made him feel uncomfortable while shooting LA Confidential. Pearce told The Hollywood Reporter the disgraced Spacey targeted him for months on the set back in 1997. The Oscar-nominated Pearce said he was not actually assaulted, but kept brushing off the advances, which was difficult to do because at the time, Spacey was quite powerful and very aggressive. Pearce said when he heard the reports that other actors came forward accusing Spacey of sexual assault, he broke down and sobbed. Pearce is nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year for his role in The Brutalist. And here's something that will make you feel old news. The Breakfast Club just turned 40 this past weekend. The John Hughes film was written in 1982 and put the famous writer-director on the map. The film's initial budget was $1 million and originally was going to be shot independently in Chicago. The Breakfast Club went on to gross $50 million after finally being released in 1985 and became a classic. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fountain Hills Apartments presents Mary's Unique Boutique Spring Shopping Spree. Thursday, March 20th, noon till 4. Shop for spring or Easter. Be one of the first 10 non-resident shoppers and get a $25 pick and save gift card. Take a tour of the newly renovated 1 and 2 bedroom apartments and be entered in a drawing for a $100 pick and save gift card. Sign a 15-month lease and get 1 month free rent. Fountain Hills Apartments, 1100 Fountain Hills Drive, Mount Pleasant.
Hi, this is Mike at your CBD store in Racine. We are sharing the love, no strings attached. Just schedule an appointment to receive a free $200 wellness kit February 27th through March 2nd. It's our way of saying thanks for prioritizing your wellness journey. Appointments are filling up fast, so call your CBD store on the corner of Highway 31 and Spring Street in Racine or visit us on Facebook. If you stop in and schedule your appointment, you will receive a 7-day clinically proven sleep gummy.
That's 1 week free on me.
Yeah.
Hey, this is WRJN General Manager Chris Morrow. We're getting geared up to be out and around the Racine community this spring and summer. A lot. And we're looking for some help. Are you somebody who could help us set up tables, tents, and hang banners in early evenings and on some weekends? We'd like to talk to you about a part-time position helping to promote the radio station and meet our listeners. If you have the ability to set up an awkward tent, carry some tables, hang some banners, we'd like to meet. Give us a call at 634-3311 during business hours and we'll set up a time to talk. 634-3311. That's WRJN looking for some weekend and evening help this spring and summer. Maybe it's you. Come join the fun as we continue to bring local news and timeless hits to Racine on WRJN.
After you've started your day with the Don Rosen Morning Show on WRJN, be sure to stay tuned for the rest of the day as the Dan Marcus Wax Museum brings fun stories and interviews with the timeless hitmakers. And Kurt Vollman recaps events from around town and previews the arts and entertainment in Racine. After Don, it's Dan, then Kurt, as we bring you local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
And we have Renee Kelly here. She is our guest this morning. She's a county board supervisor and also an alder. I got out of saying alderman. I now say alder, and it's rolling off my
tongue. Off your tongue.
And move a little closer to that microphone. I got to hear every word you have to say.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the... I was going to ask you, too. Just before the break, I said something to you to remind
Parking
me.
Parking regulations.
Parking regulations. Why there's a... They took away the consequences. Now, it used to be alternate side of the street parking... Odd and even. But then I heard from somebody, they don't give tickets anymore if you park on the wrong side of the street. So people just are parking on the wrong side of the street. They don't care because there's going to be no consequence to it.
So I know there was a period of time where they didn't have nighttime people because there's a period of time that they actually do the ticketing at night. So I know we didn't have someone. We've been a little short-staffed for the PD. So I know that they've just hired some people. They go out during a particular time frame at in the middle of the night, and they do put the tickets on. So I'm a little bit more proactive because, you know, everybody's always contacting me about this topic.
Not in my neighborhood. They don't ticket them.
Yeah, and I think they only have one or two people doing that. So... It's just, you know, like I said with the snow plowing, right? Like if there's no consequences, you're not going to do it. So back to like my side street, for example, people didn't adhere to those. So now I have this ice berm outside my driveway. So
in the shape of a car.
Right. And I'm like, don't complain about the snow plowing if you're not adhering to the even odd, you know.
But I don't care.
I know.
The morning of the snow, the big snow a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, my wife says, look across the street, they're towing a car. And they were two cars there. They towed one. The guy ran out and grabbed his other car and tried to jam it in the driveway, but he didn't even do that. He parked it on the sidewalk because they have so many cars in their driveway. I don't know how many people are living in that house with cars, but they pulled it in the driveway. In the street, he couldn't get his back wheels to turn. So he's just doing donuts trying to get the car in the driveway because the back wheels weren't. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, they're screaming, your back wheels aren't turning, waking up the neighborhood.
Oh my God.
But one of his cars got towed. And once they start towing, that's it. It's you can't stop them because they're, you know, they got it halfway up there. So they towed. So at least they were doing something.
Yep. So,
Go ahead.
This last one, I think January's snowstorm might have kind of awoken the beast, kind of, basically. So we had enough aldermen kind of pushing back and trying to work with the city on, you know, how can we resolve this for, you know, everybody. It kind of turned upside down a little bit. There's a lot of memes on social media and stuff about the snow plowing. So DPW and PD were working together cohesively this time. So we were able to get, you know, people. I mean, I even on Wright Avenue, which is a main artery road, we had people that were getting plowed. And I looked down the street after it was Friday night and they declared that snow emergency. And I called the chief and I said, there, I can see 10 cars from where I'm at right now. And it was coming down. And so, you know, next thing I know, there's, you know, flashing lights out there. Just like clockwork, as soon as you see them lights, people start scattering. Like all of a sudden, the cars are gone. You know? It's like, but you know, there's, you know, it's like, oh, they were really serious when they put that out. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and I don't know how much it costs to get your car out of hock, but it's in the hundreds, at least $150 minimum.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little higher now. But
and then you
get
the ticket on top of that.
Yep. Yeah, that's
so you can walk.
Hurt.
I used to watch that show, Parking Wars. You ever see that?
No.
It was on A&E for years, Parking Wars. And one of the, well, they were based in Philadelphia, when these people tried to get their cars out for parking on a street they shouldn't have been parking on, it was up to $500. You had to pay for the tow, the storage of the car. There was a daily storage. And then you had to pay the ticket on top of that. And it was expensive just to park where you shouldn't have been parking.
Yes.
The whole world is based on parking.
That's the so crazy thing is the people that were parked in the wrong spot where I have my ice berm, they have a garage and a driveway in the rental that they're staying at. And I'm like, there's a snow emergency. Why aren't you utilizing that? I'm like scratching my head. I can't figure this out. Nobody's using their alley parking. So I don't know.
Can you park in the alley on a snow emergency?
A lot of these people have garages
in the alley.
Okay, yeah. So I'm like, I don't know why you guys aren't parking in your.
Our driveway is very long, so we can get three cars in with no problem.
Oh.
Had we invested in five more cars, we can open the gate and pull them into the backyard.
Oh, wow.
But we don't do that.
Yeah.
We did it on the 4th of July once when we had all these friends over. We just opened the gate. And we parked cars right in the backyard straight so we can get them out. But we have three cars, son, my wife, and I. And wife and me, we have three cars, so we can get him in real easily when there's a snow emergency. The problem becomes we have to figure out who's leaving first, and what time are you getting out? I need to get my car. So we got this chart we got to figure out.
Listen,
you're leaving at 5. I'm leaving at 5:05. You're leaving at 5:30. Then we have to rearrange the cars in the order and who we're going to get out.
Mm.
Yeah, hold on, just there. We're going to have a whole bunch of things to talk about. Go, okay. So stay right there. Renee Kelly is here. She's an alder for the 13th district. Lucky 13. And you're also a county board supervisor for the 2nd district. And so we're talking what's going on in your city and your county. That's right here. But first, we've got Paul Harvey.
Now, the rest of the story. I'm going to show you the most exquisitely complicated astronomical mechanical clock anywhere. It was inspired by the Norwegian Clockmakers Guild. Its creator, thus inspired, was Rasmus Sorns. He was born in 1893 near the town of Savanger in southern Norway. He was a farm boy. He taught himself mechanical craft, creating the world's most incredible clock. Became a lifelong challenge. Rasmus had made three astronomical clocks before embarking on his masterpiece timepiece in 1958. He was then 65. But today, admiring clockmakers worldwide recognize it as the Rasmus Sorns clock, and you would not believe it if you saw it. The intricate mechanism, visible from four sides, stands in a 6.5-foot-tall, dust-proof glass showcase. At the top of the clock is a precise simulation of solar and lunar movement. A main drive and 7 auxiliary drives are required for that part alone. But there is also a Julian calendar, a daily calendar starting January 1, 4713 B.C., other dials tell universal time, local mean time, standard and daylight saving time. Sidereal or star time is indicated on one of the dials. Time of sunrise, sunset, and so-called sun south are also indicated, as are solar time and time of the tides. And we're still in the upper section of the clock now. There's a calendar which takes into account each month's uneven number of days and leap years and non-leap years, of course. And in the clock's lower section, an impressive representation of the solar system. And also the Norwegian names of the zodiac appear in a large transparent glass dial. And behind that dial are two spheres, an earth globe and a star globe depicting the various constellations. The Earth globe has a double movement. It rotates once every 24 hours. It follows the Earth's axis inclination through the year. The star globe, operating on sidereal time, makes a complete revolution every 25,800 years. while accounting for the precession of the Earth's axis. The Rasmus Orange clock is a pendulum clock. But with the push of a button, the weights are electrically rewound. It took Sorens 9 years to complete it, shortly after which he passed away. And as I say, that clock, which was his crowning achievement, was inspired by the Norwegian Clockmakers Guild. Well, before he began working on that astronomical clock, Rasmus Sorens was determined to create the world's most incredible chronograph. To spite the Clockmakers Guild, the members of which thought him unworthy of them. The guild believed that young self-taught Sorens was not good enough even to become a member. And so he decided to build the most fabulous clock anywhere just to show the members of the Norwegian Clockmakers Guild, who would not let him in and have not let him in to this day. But now you know the rest of the story.
And we have another rest of the story coming up with Dan Marcus. That's at 12:05 today. Learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. 7:30 on the noggin. Let's check news, see what's going on locally. And once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two people were injured in that Racine house explosion and fire last night. It happened at around 6 at a duplex on Gilson, about 2 blocks north of Mitchell Middle. The cause still isn't known, but investigators may have a tough time due to the conditions. Debris was blown for blocks, water used to douse the flames froze, and We Energy has reportedly had issues trying to dig out and find a cutoff valve. Nearby homes were briefly evacuated as a safety measure. Again, the cause of that explosion and fire at the duplex in Racine is currently under investigation. Kenosha Unified voters said no to the extra spending. The $115 million school referendum for Kenosha Unified was voted down yesterday. A request from the Waterford Union High School District in Racine County did pass. In other results from yesterday, voters in Racine's 5th Aldermanic District sent Jens Jorgensen to the April ballot to take on Melissa Caprillion. In the 9th, Grace Allen and Pat Schwanke advanced to April. To recap results, check out RacineCountyEye.com. 40 degrees by early next week and maybe rain. The cold weather advisory sticks around for a little bit today, but then a warm-up takes place. It'll be in the 30s for the weekend, up near 40 on Monday. The latest is coming up in the forecast. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Short-term pain, long-term gain. That seems to be the opinion of many Wisconsin farmers as we roll towards March 1st and potential tariffs. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And if that's your thought, you're not alone. Other farmers around the United States are feeling the same way. Zach Webb is an agronomist in North and South Carolina, and he says the conversation he's having with growers kind of reflect the same attitude.
I was with some growers yesterday. They were talking about the reductions of bill stuff, and they were concerned about it. And I said, "Wait a minute now, read the whole article." I said, "Because a lot of that's going to be directed toward food stamps and things like that." I mean, honestly, I think most of these guys realize that this first year is going to be tough, whether it's tariffs or whatever, or reduction in spending and things like that. But I think they also realize that it's going to take us a year or two to get to where we need to be and to fix some problems that we've had.
Zach Webb, he's an agronomist in North and South Carolina. How do you feel about the potential tariffs and its impact on your farming operation? You can share your thoughts on our Midwest Farm Report talk text line. That's open anytime you have thoughts. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Markets are next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you, or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
Barrel cheese on Tuesday dropped a quarter of a cent to 181.5. 40-pound block cheese again remains unchanged, but AA butter gained 3.25 cents on the day to 241 a pound. As we start our Wednesday trade session right now, December new crop corn unchanged at 478. November new crop beans are up 2 at 1060. July new crop wheat currently 2.5 cents higher, 632.5. The March Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 3 cents lower right now, 1957 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Finally crawling out of the deep freeze here this week. Partly sunny, slight improvement today, a high of 14. Wind chills, though, still between 5 below and 15 below. A low of 7 tonight with mostly cloudy skies, maybe a few flurries. Mostly sunny on Thursday with a high of 24. Right now, it's 1 above 0.
I like to wait till it's quiet, and then I say something awkward a lot of times, you know. Like, I was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I was on the exercise bike, and it was close to closing time. And this heavyset lady came and sat on the bike right next to me, and she goes, "I'm here to lose weight." And I was like, "Well, you waited till the last minute, didn't you?" You know, I still laugh at things I know I shouldn't, man. But some things are just too funny, you know? Like when people fall down. That's funny. Right? You know what's funny about that is? You don't even know if they're all right yet. Right? And for like a split second, you just don't care. Because they could be bleeding right in front of you. Ooh, dang, buddy, all right, holy cow.
Hey, to the people who make scented garbage bags, you could probably take the fragrance down like 6,000% and we'd be okay. Not really sure who that's designed for, you know? Hey, you got a corpse in your kitchen? Don't worry about it, just throw it in the bag. We're cool, we got you.
And Renee Kelly is here. She's our 13th District Alder in the city of Racine, 2nd District County Board Supervisor. Let's talk about the county board for a minute. We talked about all your headaches with the the city of Racine. On a nice sunny day, you don't have any headaches. When it snows, you get the headache. Yeah. Do you get panicky, by the way, when you see in the forecast winter storm warnings up to 6 inches of snow? Because you know you're going to have a headache the next day.
Yeah, you just kind of roll with it. When it's nice out, though, then you got to contend with speeding. So there's more of that than there is, you know, the snow stuff.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
By the way, the 24-inch snowstorm, you were in Alder during that thing on Groundhog Day 2011?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah, that talk about a headache. That gives you a migraine and a tumor in your brain, that one. We have a couple of cars that go down our street. And they jerry-rig the muffler on there so it doesn't work. And you could hear them at 1 o'clock in the morning. It sounds like the Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove coming down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so loud. They're still doing it. They've been doing it for months and months and months. I mean, it can wake up the day. It wakes me up at 1 o'clock in the morning when they're doing, especially on the weekend, too. The one day of the week I can sleep. And they get you up. And it just seems like there's nothing being done about it.
So that's in Union Grove?
No, that's on Main Street in Racine.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It sounds like the Great Lakes Dragway.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yes, so the police chief is very aware of this. This is a topic.
Wait a second, she's pulling out her statement that she reads to everybody.
No.
Here's my statement I read.
Nope, I can tell you this in my sleep. My goodness, we talk about this, about speeding ad nauseum. We actually just had a whole committee of the whole on speeding and reckless driving, on how we can you know, solutions with DPW and PD. But, you know, the end result really is if you don't have proper enforcement and, you know, after COVID, things kind of just, you know, tampered down and, you know, we weren't really enforcing. We lost a lot of police officers, unfortunately, due to the lack of signing of contracts. So, you know, they're aware of the mufflers. They're, you know, updating a couple of things so they can start, you know, working to kind of reduce some of these people. They know who a lot of these bad actors are. And I'm very familiar with that because they rip down through West Racine at a certain time. It starts like 8:30 at night and you can hear them. And I'm like, oh, here they come. And they travel in packs, you know, like three of them. So I'll
like
send
wolves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, here they go. And I'm like, I told them, I said, all you need to do is sit on Wright Avenue in West Racine. I said, you can catch these guys. So, but I think I've been working with some of the COP officers and the police chief. And so they know who these people are. They know where they live.
But the one thing to stop them, if they know where they live.
Right.
You could hear them in the distance, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And you know what we should get? You know the cops have those spike strips they get to stop in a high-speed pursuit. You want those spike strips?
Give me some. I'll throw them out in the street.
And
these
are good-looking cars. These aren't just, you know, ordinary.
I know.
These guys spent a lot of money on these cars.
Yeah, and I think there's some shops around Racine that are help facilitating this. So.
And you know what? They could take these cars out to the Great Lakes Dragway and do it legally.
Exactly.
They love the noise out there. My wife used to live in Union Grove. You can hear it for miles at the Great Lakes Dragway. They love that kind of stuff.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Potholes, that's going to be a big, big thing coming up. No, they don't come up yet. It will come up.
It's going to. It's almost spring.
You got your winter headaches and you got your spring headaches, potholes.
Yeah, so Public Works will start working on, there'll be like public hearings and stuff like that. So we'll be going over streets and alleys where they go around and they assess, you know, the ratings to see where they're at as far as being replaced. I last year had great opposition to having an alley done, and I had enough people come and public protest at the public hearing for Public Works, and I got up and, you know, asked some very strategic questions because I wanted the people in the audience to realize that, you know, if you don't get this done, it'll be X amount of time before they come back and assess again. So, and they don't have the manpower to come out and fill holes all over the city. So,
and also, when Melissa Caprillion is in here, our alder, not my alder, but she's an alder in the city, I always say the manhole covers. They're like 2 to 3 inches below the street. And I don't know why they don't make them street level. Now, Melissa will tell me that Alder Caprillion will say, well, the water's got to run down there.
I was just going to say that.
But if the street is, the street's got to be tilted in that direction for the water to even get there. And it will run down anyway. There's a hole in it. You don't need it, but it's so, and you hit it, especially on Main Street, boom.
Yeah. It wakes you up, doesn't it?
I don't want to break my axle. I'm wide awake. I just want my car to.
I think there's some issues too on Washington where, like in Mount Pleasant, where they had some, and I don't know if that's County or Mount Pleasant that was in charge of that big project, but they had the same issues where all the huge, bigger divots.
Whenever I have city officials, it's always a cathartic thing for me. I can spew all my problems because when I spew it to people around here, they don't care. Yeah. These people don't care about my manhole cover problems.
I care about your manholes.
You care. That's what I care about. Okay. All right. So your spring, this will be your spring problem. What summer problems do you have all the time? Anything?
Speeding, crime.
Oh, that's right, because everybody's out. The criminals, they go to the Bahamas for the winter and then they come back for the summer.
Yes. They're very active. But, you know, it's gotten to the point where in my district anyway, I don't know, you know, I know it's citywide, it's nationwide, but it's a problem in my district. Hence why I kind of mentioned that I do these neighborhood watch meetings to kind of collaborate.
We're going to talk about the neighborhood watch coming in. Yeah.
but it's, you know, I don't think it's kind of blended in. It's almost like when I used to live in South Florida, you used to know when all the snowbirds were coming. And then all of a sudden you couldn't tell the transition between the two. It's like it all kind of started to be, you know, the same thing. And so, you know, to hear, you know, shots fired in January is not a normal thing.
Let's bring that up. So this is a couple of years ago. I'm cleaning my wife just got a brand new car. We're cleaning the roof off the snow. And I wasn't paying attention. And my son says, "It's a hole in the roof." So I moved the snow. There's a bullet hole in the roof of the car.
My.
It was the day after New Year's around there. And the morons in our neighborhood are shooting guns in the air. Now, you can't be that stupid not to know that the bullet's got to come down. You're lucky it doesn't get on somebody's head or you'd be in prison for the rest of your life.
You'd be surprised. The stupid part.
We have a segment called Moron News. Oh. And some of these people are morons. Anything you shoot up in the air eventually has to come down. Because I think in school you learned something about gravity.
Law of gravity, yeah.
Yeah, the law of gravity. Uh-huh. And you know what? That law stays on the books
forever.
For eternity.
Yes, that's
never
right.
It comes off the book. It's going to come down, and it came down on our car. So we brought the car in, and they had to take the entire roof off the windshield to get it fixed. And so I go into the Boucher to go pick up my car. And I said, "You got my bullet?" "Oh, we actually do. We saved it for you. Everybody wanted to see it. And he said, we have it at home. We have the bullet that was in the roof. It didn't go through the roof. It went through the top, but it didn't go into the car." But
so crazy.
So the morons who shoot these guns off in the air, you know, they'll be stupid because if it hits somebody in the head.
Yeah, there's no going back.
I'll see you in prison for life, 40 years to life. There you go. I get very cathartic.
See, this is like therapy for you.
I get this because normally when we play music, I can't, you know, I got to be friendly and nice.
Yes.
Now I have to be friendly and nice.
Well, remember, I had 15 bullets in my house.
Whoa, what was that?
Yeah, so that was the cemetery shooting.
Oh, I remember that. Didn't they get off or did they?
So I went to the trial. It was last month for one of the individuals that was involved, and the jury found him not guilty. So that was pretty devastating for not only, you know, the people that were affected in my neighborhood, but also there were people that got shot at the cemetery. So
that was in Graceland, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I remember that. So your house had 15 bullets in it?
Yeah, because I think the people that were at the cemetery followed them back, and there was an individual that lived on that street, so they were having a wild, wild west gunfight on Wright Avenue.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. They didn't hit anything important, did they?
The houses.
No people or pets.
No, the houses. And, you know, my neighbors are thankful. I've been very proactive when I see something happening. I work with PD. I work with the county. I work with the city, trying to get our hands kind of wrapped around what's going on. Because, you know, if there's something going on there, it not only affects the neighbors that live there, it affects the surrounding businesses. I work by Lee's Deli. You know, my son works there. He walks to work. There's other kids that work there that walk home. So, you know, it's just, you know, we want to try to keep our area safe and, you know, trying to do the right thing. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. So my one bullet in the roof doesn't look that bad after.
Got two in my tub.
You kind of minimalized my roof.
Sorry.
But I got the bullet.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about the Neighborhood Watch. It's called A Taste Out of Crime.
Yes.
Not a bite out of crime, but a taste out of crime.
Yeah.
That's coming up in just a moment. Renee Kelly is my guest. She's a county board supervisor in Alder here in the city of Racine. More coming up in just a moment. 7:20 and make it 7:47 now. For today, cloudy with a high near 15 degrees. We've got cloudy skies tonight. Lows around 6. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high near 24. It's cloudy, one single lonely degree at Radio Park again at 7:47.
At Hospice Alliance, not all volunteers work directly with our patients. Some help with special projects, office work, mailings, check-in phone calls, and much more. Anything you want to do, Hospice Alliance has a volunteer role for you. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties.
If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
Bob and Weave to the story of a young boxer on the cusp of greatness in And In This Corner, Cassius Clay, opening February 21st at the Racine Theater Guild. Before the world knew him as Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay Jr. grew up in Jim Crow-era Louisville. He stepped into the ring with determination and a drive to not be beaten by life or his opponents, fighting his way onto the gold medal stand and into history books. A reminder for us all to channel our inner champion and fight for what's right. Tickets and more info at racinetheater.org.
Lee's Deli is your go-to for fresh signature subs and chef salads in Racine. Find them at Twins Food Mart on 16th and Packard, Elite Mini Market on Washington Avenue, and Taylor Mart on 1813 Taylor Avenue. Hosting a party? Convenient pickup and catering from our Washington Avenue shop make game day party trays a hit, even with a few hours' notice. Kickstart your healthy new year with your favorite sub in a gluten-free wrap or in a bowl to suit any dietary need. Lee's Deli, proudly serving Racine in 2025, one meal at a time.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day, X-Golf Kenosha. Whether you're a seasoned pro or a new golfer, think beyond the green and experience world-class golf simulators in a lively setting with delicious food, top-notch service, and a full bar. Tee off on one of 50 famous courses, hit the driving range, take a lesson with their PGA pro, Ray, or join a league for some friendly competition. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals banner, and get $40 simulator certificates for just $20. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Renee Kelly, my guest, and she's an alder in the 13th district for the city of Racine and a county board supervisor in the 2nd district. Before we get back to some other stuff here, someone asked, what's the one word you can never spell correctly? Now, I'm going to give you some choices here, okay? Let's see how you do. I'm not going to ask you to spell them. Just tell me which word you got the problem with. We have maintenance. Stop me when you hear the word. Maintenance, convenience, boutonniere. I have no idea how to spell boutonniere.
Boutonniere. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Necessary, occasionally, accommodate, embarrass, receipt. Now, with receipt, it's I after E except after C. Remember that old phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Conscientious, conscience. Conscious is easy. It's conscience.
Right.
Rhythm. Restaurant. Now, refrigerator's a tricky one, because if I ask you to spell the word fridge, it's got a D in it. Fridge.
Right.
But refrigerator doesn't.
Does not, yeah.
The disappearing D. That's that's where people get screwed up on that one.
Yeah.
Privilege and definitely. Now, some of those would give me a problem, but boutonniere.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
For people don't know, it's B-O-U-T-O-N-N-I-E-R-E.
Yeah.
I would never get that. Mm-hmm. If they had a gun to my head and said, your life is over, I said, well, bring me to my burial site because I don't know how to spell boutonniere.
Thank God for spell check.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Oh, wow. Yeah. Those are tough words to spell. Wow. There was one more I had on here for you, too. I'll find it in a minute here. Oh, yeah. No. I'll get to that one later. Okay. Let's talk about the Neighborhood Watch fundraiser you had.
Yeah, so that is coming up in March. I believe it's Friday, March 28th, if I'm not mistaken. So that is a fundraiser to help Neighborhood Watch. They're technically a nonprofit. They're under the purview of the police department as of this last budget cycle. So they work in collaboration with the PD and city and county. And she helps facilitate my meetings in my district for people. They do a lot of proactive measures. They try to teach and educate people on what to do in the community if there's an issue. They have a dog walking program now. But they've been doing this for, I think it's their 14th annual. A lot of us that are involved in the community volunteer usually to help them out because it's a collaborative effort. So it's a lot of volunteers. There's a lot of they're always looking for donations for gift baskets to raffle off to raise money for the Neighborhood Watch program. So it's a good event. It's for a good cause.
And again, it's on Friday, March 28th?
It is, yes.
You sound like you were hesitant before. On that.
I'm like, I need a calendar.
Got one right there.
Yeah.
Except it's on February.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. And we'll talk more about that when it gets closer.
Absolutely.
I'll come back. People have a short memory. They say, who was on the air today? Renee Kelly? I can't remember. That was 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
What are you talking? Okay, so wanted to talk about that. You wanted to give a couple of shout-outs.
Yes.
Let's get that in.
For my district, yep. So for some local businesses, wanted to give a shout out to Lee's Deli, who's located on Washington Avenue. They've been there for years.
We just had their commercial on while you were out of the room.
Yeah. So love their sandwiches, great salads.
The Gobbler.
That is my favorite.
we actually, when we have meetings, we bring in Lee's Deli sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I know. Well, and my son knows I love ham salad, so they have like the best ham salad, but I don't want to get my secrets out now, right? And so then my other shout out would be we just had a ribbon cutting for the Restore. Habitat for Humanity, they moved the Restore from kind of the south area over there to the old, what was that? It was an old grocery store over there on Grove, Piggly Wiggly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's absolutely beautiful because I have done some neighborhood cleanups with some volunteers and we would have some issues with people loitering over there. And just sitting vacant, we'd go over and clean it up. And it's amazing the amount of garbage that you find around that place. But to walk in there and see it and see all the great donations that CNH and Cree Lighting and everybody kind of from the community came together and put into this place, it's absolutely amazing. So please go check it out. It's great to have it in our district.
I find a lot of Alders, and I can talk about the ones I really know well, like David Mack. Mm-hmm. Melissa Caprillion, yourself, always get involved in things. David Mack gives tours over at SC Johnson.
Yeah.
Melissa does everything.
Yes.
You get
does.
Involved with all your stuff.
Yeah.
If somebody ever comes up to my house and says, we'd like you to help, get off my porch. I'll sick a pit bull on you. Get off my porch. I just wish I got involved more. I just don't. I don't know why I don't. I just wish I did because... you guys are involved in everything, always willing to do stuff and get off my porch.
I've always kind of been that way. I mean, I was a Girl Scout co-leader. People don't realize what's involved with that. It's not just selling cookies. You actually, there's a curriculum that you have to.
Are we in cookie season now?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we are.
Because nobody comes to my door anymore.
Yeah, they don't.
I've got to go out and find them. I was going down Stewart Avenue in Racine once, and I saw somebody on their driveway with a table set up. I did a quick U-turn, and I headed back to buy my...
Give me some Thin Mints.
No, not Thin Mints. I like the lemonade cookies.
Oh, yeah. The lemon shortbread ones.
Yeah, they got rid of the chocolate shortbread ones, but they got that, and I did... I did a U-y and got right back.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you a secret?
What?
Aldi has these like knockoff cookies that taste just like the Girl Scout cookies.
You know, but when I eat I know I'm helping somebody.
At $7 a box.
$5 a box. But I'll tell you something. You do all I get something out of it because I'm getting cookies.
Right.
And I freeze them because I don't want to eat them. I'll eat a whole box in one setting.
They're lethal.
There's a meme and it shows this guy and he just writes on there, I've been clean for a year, and then I saw my dealer on the street. And it shows this cute little girl in front of a table full of Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's the way I feel. I'm clean for a year. Also, my dealer is out there on the street selling
cookie
cookies.
Crack, yeah. So oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about the, we got a few minutes left, about the county board.
Okay.
What's going on in the county? We talked about the city, now
so
the county.
We just had the ribbon cutting for, and they named it after the late former county executive, Jonathan.
Yeah.
So that was a really, really nice event that I went to. I brought two guests, the owner of Lee's Deli, actually, and another guy that's involved in the community, brought them with me. And so it was just really great to see what they're doing. How they can kind of rehabilitate some of the youth and put them back out for success into the community rather than just kind of in a doom loop, so to speak. Much better, more humane setting, a lot of opportunities there for education and different things like that. So if you ever have an opportunity and at all to go tour that place, it was really nice to see what the county put together. So.
Now, where is that? That's out in
It's on 3 Mile in Caledonia.
Yeah, but the actual meetings take place at Ives Grove?
Yes, they do.
Right there? That's not too far. Yeah. It's right down Spring Street.
Yeah. So, and then in my district for the county, it's kind of big. It actually spans over four aldermanic districts. So a little piece of mine and some other people's districts. But so I have where workforce development on Taylor is. So where the old Blifford lumber was, that's where the new mental health facility is. So that's actually going to be in my supervisor district. So I fully support that. We need, you know, to have some sort of a facility here in Racine that can help with mental health issues. That's a big thing.
And finally, if money was no object.
Wow.
No object.
Yeah.
What thing would you want for your district? Or all of Racine, the city of Racine, not just your district. Not going to be selfish
goodness.
Here. Money's no object. Do you want more police? Do you want a tax break? Do you want more garbage trucks, more snow plows? You better say snow plows.
Let's see. Well, you know, I would like to go back to being able to maintaining the alleys and the streets and different things like that, that are the key kind of core things that people in the city, you know, really care about. Having those covered rather than having to have the taxpayers pay for that. You know, the police issue, I don't really think it's a money issue. I actually had an amendment in this last year's budget to find funds to other, they were going to cut six police officer positions. I found the money and was able to pass that amendment in the budget. So for this calendar year, how we're going to move forward, I'm not really sure. Fire has the same issue, and I actually want to kind of segue into that. In the April 1st on the ballot will be a referendum for the firefighters. Back in, I think it was 21, they were going to cut nine positions. They were actually able to find a safer grant to fund those nine positions and keep them. But if we don't support the referendum on the April ballot, we will lose nine firefighter positions, which is going to be devastating for the city because we have such an uptick in calls. So basically, fire department and definitely PD, they're literally chasing calls. They're literally, because people are like, why aren't they sitting there looking for the speeders? And I said, well, they're literally jumping from call to call to call.
Yeah, I know.
And you can't do that if they don't have enough bodies.
They know attention to what I say. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of work. I'm glad there's people like you doing it because I wouldn't. And I'm very glad there are people like you. Thank you very much for coming in. You're welcome here anytime, as you know.
Thank you.
Renee Kelly, who's the County Board Supervisor for the 2nd District, and she's also an alder for the 13th District, correct, which is Uptown, right?
It's West Racine.
West Racine.
Yeah.
Okay, West Racine. Okay, thank you very much for coming in.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you
appreciate
for slipping
it.
In when it's, you know, now it's 2 degrees outside.
Ooh.
It's a little warmer than when you came in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's 8 o'clock on the noggin. We're talking to...